Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Rust, a Memoir of Steel and Grit is a nonfiction memoir by Elias Colette Goldbach that explores life inside a Cleveland steel mill while also tracing the author's personal upheaval, including trauma, bipolar disorder, financial instability, and political disillusionment. The book is set in the Rust Belt and uses the steel industry not just as a backdrop but as a framework for examining work, identity, class, and survival. Goldbach's account is notable for moving between the physical realities of industrial labor and the emotional realities of trying to remain functional under pressure. It is both a workplace memoir and a social observation about the people and politics shaped by manufacturing decline. Rather than treating the mill as a simple symbol of hardship, the book presents it as a complicated community with its own language, hierarchy, and solidarity. That combination of personal vulnerability and industrial detail gives the memoir its distinctive perspective. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, steel mill labor as a culture, not just a job. One of the book's central contributions is its portrayal of the steel mill as a distinct social world with customs, vocabulary, and expectations that outsiders would not easily understand. Goldbach does not reduce factory work to a generic story of hard labor. Instead, she shows how the plant shapes behavior, status, and belonging through its routines and informal rules. New workers must learn the language of the place, the attitudes that are accepted, and the practical rhythms of shift work and production. This matters because the memoir treats industrial labor as a lived culture rather than a purely economic arrangement. The work is physically demanding and often dangerous, but it is also structured by pride, expertise, and mutual dependence. By emphasizing that complexity, the book challenges simplified narratives about manufacturing decline. It suggests that steelwork carries identity and community value even as the industry becomes less central to the broader economy. The result is a more human view of industrial employment, one that explains why such work can feel both punishing and meaningful at the same time. Secondly, mental health under industrial pressure. The memoir is also shaped by Goldbach's experience of bipolar disorder, which gives the book an important psychological dimension. Her account shows that mental health is not separate from work, but deeply affected by workload, schedule, environment, and personal strain. The demands of swing shifts, fatigue, and the emotional rigidity required in a dangerous industrial setting intensify the challenges of living with illness. This makes the memoir more than a story about resilience in the abstract. It examines how ordinary employment can become harder when the body and mind are already under pressure. Goldbach's experience also reveals how material necessity can force people to stay in jobs that are not emotionally sustainable. The steel mill provides income and stability, but it also creates friction with her inner life and relationships. That tension is one of the memoir's strongest analytical threads because it shows that mental health is not simply an individual issue. It is also shaped by class conditions, workplace structure, and access to options. The book therefore adds an important social dimension to a personal health narrative. Thirdly, from religious upbringing to political independence. Goldbach's move from a conservative Catholic upbringing toward a more independent political identity is another major thread in the memoir. The book uses this transition to show how ideology is not fixed. It develops through education, personal trauma, labor, and exposure to different communities. Her earlier environment offers one set of moral assumptions, while college and later factory work place her in contact with people who think differently. Rather than presenting political disagreement as a simple argument between left and right, the memoir explores how background shapes perception and how life experience can complicate inherited beliefs. This is especially important in a Rust Belt context, where political loyalties and economic frustration often intersect. The book does not merely comment on politics from the outside. It places political change inside a biography, showing how identity can be renegotiated when a person moves between social worlds. That gives the memoir its broader relevance. It explains political realignment through lived experience rather than slogans. Readers interested in contemporary American labor politics will find that this angle gives the book analytical weight beyond the personal narrative. Fourthly, trauma, survival, and the search for stability. Another defining element of the memoir is the way trauma and financial precarity shape the author's choices. Goldbach's path to the mill is not framed as a romantic search for blue-collar authenticity. It is a response to injury, illness, and economic pressure. That context matters because it explains why the job is both a lifeline and a burden. The memoir shows how people often take on difficult work not because they love it, but because the alternatives are worse. This gives the story a realistic social foundation. The steel mill becomes a place where survival is possible, but not necessarily comfortable or emotionally healing. The book also suggests that trauma can alter a person's sense of self and direction, making stability feel urgent, even when the means of achieving it are imperfect. By linking sexual assault, bipolar disorder, and financial hardship, Goldbach presents a layered account of vulnerability. The memoir is effective because it avoids a single-cause explanation of hardship. It instead shows how several forms of instability can accumulate and shape one's life decisions, relationships, and sense of future. Lastly, solidarity in a divided Rust Belt workplace, despite its attention to hardship and conflict. The memoir repeatedly returns to the unexpected solidarity Goldbach finds among her co-workers. This is one of the book's most distinctive themes because it resists the idea that political differences automatically prevent human connection. The mill is described as a place where people from different backgrounds and viewpoints still depend on one another in practical ways. That dependence creates a kind of community that is rough, imperfect, and sometimes contradictory, but still real. The memoir uses this environment to challenge stereotypes about industrial workers as a flat political category. It shows them as individuals with quirks, loyalties, fears, and forms of care. This is also why the book has broader significance. It argues that solidarity can emerge in places shaped by class tension and ideological division. In an era of intense polarization, that point gives the memoir more than local interest. It suggests that shared labor can produce understanding even when public discourse fails. The result is a nuanced social portrait that humanizes both the workplace and the people inside it. In conclusion, Rust, a Memoir of Steel and Grit, will appeal to readers of memoir, working-class nonfiction, labor history, and books about mental health and identity. It is especially suitable for readers interested in the Rust Belt, Cleveland, manufacturing culture, or the social meaning of industrial work. The practical value of the memoir lies in its layered perspective. It helps readers understand how workplace conditions, economic insecurity, trauma, and illness can intersect in everyday life. Intellectually, it offers a grounded look at how political identity and class experience are formed inside real institutions rather than in theory alone. What makes the book stand out from many similar memoirs is its combination of intimate self-examination and concrete industrial detail. It is not only a recovery narrative or a political memoir. It is also an account of labor as culture, of the mill as community, and of survival as something shaped by both private pain and public history. That blend gives the book a distinct place within contemporary memoir writing. If you would like to support Elise Colette Goldbach, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.